This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Martin. Now we're going to turn to a subject that is central to so many people's lives here in the U.S., and that is their religious practice. While religious teachings often say that the divine presence can be everywhere or anywhere, religious communities often depend on sharing space to celebrate, study, mourn, and pray together. And coronavirus has disrupted much of that in temples, churches, synagogues, and mosques across the country. We're joined now by two faith leaders who are working with their communities to navigate this, and they're here to discuss some of your questions as well. Imam Muhammad Al-Tahir is Imam and President of the Islamic Center of Laramie, Wyoming. Imam, welcome.
Hi, good evening.
Good to see you. And Reverend Lane Moore is Director of Missions with the Northwest Louisiana Baptist Association. He advises more than 100 Baptist churches in his area. Reverend Moore, welcome to you as well. It's good to have you with us.
Good evening, Michelle.
Well, I'm just going to start by just asking what transitions your communities went through as coronavirus cases increased and authorities began recommending that gatherings be limited. Imam, you want to start?
Yeah. Since the country has been in lockdown in the middle of March, so we reached out to our people here and that in view of the mosque, and we explained the situation that for the safety of the community and the safety of the people who are coming to the mosque, so we're going to restrict and postpone all prayers in the mosque until further notice. And we're just going to do Friday prayers with very few representations, 3 to 5 people that will come to represent the community here. And we will broadcast the sermons online, and then people can watch them on Facebook. Fortunately, the community here is a university community, so people are familiar with the technology. They are on Facebook, they are on Twitter, they are on YouTube. So we didn't face any major problems with it.
And since
Islam has inherently very clear protocols about pandemics and how people should behave there, explaining the situation wasn't difficult, and the response was really great.
Oh, that's great to hear. Reverend Moore, what about you?
Well, our churches experienced the same thing as all churches did around the country. It was fine 1 week, and the next week it's come to a screeching halt, and so we were not able to physically meet, but as was just mentioned, many of the churches turned to social media sites to be able to broadcast their services, be it any number of ways. But what was lacking was the physical gathering, and we believe that's essential to the practice of our Christian faith, is to be able to gather together with brothers and sisters in Christ, and that was what we were not able to do in a formal corporate setting.
And so, Reverend Moore, can I just ask you, since the imam was saying that a lot of the people in his congregations, in his community, had the technology and knew how to use it and felt it was pretty seamless. But what about you, Reverend Moore? Is there anything in particular you really struggled with besides not being able to physically gather?
Well, the message of Jesus Christ still went forward through the social media sites. Many had either television access programs, Facebook, streaming their services, so they were able to still get the message of Jesus Christ, of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, out to their members and any others. And many pastors said they were reaching many more people through that route than were walking in the doors of their church on any given Sunday. So it was kind of a blessing in disguise, if you will, and many that have returned to corporate worship now are continuing that same model, so it's a both and, not an either or.
Yeah, interesting. Imam, is there anything that you're struggling with now? Anything that's still a pain point?
One of the things that we struggle with, people wanted to come to the mosque. It's an integral part. Almost all men are obliged to come to the mosque for all 5 prayers if they can. And especially Friday prayer, there is no reason to go back, to go about it and not coming to the mosque. But at the end of the day, the safety of the people is more important than the gathering itself. Yeah, the spirit of the community will diminish a little bit, but at the end of the day, it's for the sake of everybody's safety, and it's a temporary thing. Hopefully, all of this will clear out very, very soon.
So let me play a clip from a listener. This is Judith. She's director of education at a Unitarian Universalist Fellowship in Florida. And she struggled a bit with the move to online religious life, especially with her older congregants. Let me just play that.
Because everybody's level of technology understanding, literacy is different. You're trying to meet everybody's needs. And, you know, we have 85-year-old members of the congregation who don't necessarily get how the chat list works or how to, quote, raise your hand on a Zoom call so that we can acknowledge them. So making that happen is completely different.
And Judith also said she's struggling to reach folks at the other end of the age spectrum for different reasons. Let me just play that as well.
Kids don't have the privacy in their own homes when they're on Zoom that they have in a youth group room. And when they're on a conference call on the computer, they're often in a living room or in a family room or somewhere where their end of the call can be heard. So they're missing out on something that they can normally have.
Reverend Moore, do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, obviously, the global message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is being used in a wonderful way through the internet and through social media. And as great as that has been, it can't duplicate the human touch. And that's what I think Judith was referring to, is that 85-year-old can't get together with her ladies that she's known for decades to be able to have that Christian fellowship together. And that's just a reality. We couldn't do what we couldn't do back over the last couple of months. And when a young person is sitting at the kitchen table and his mom, her mom or dad is looking over the shoulder and they're at a Zoom meeting, he's obviously not going to be probably as honest as he would be if he's at a church setting, he's in a group of his peers and they're talking about sensitive issues. That's just a reality that you just can't duplicate and can't replicate what you do when you're in your peer group.
Yeah, sure. It is a pain point. Let me have another. We've talked with a number of people who have had to postpone or adapt important religious rituals and sacraments. And this is Reverend Dan, who's a minister in Virginia.
I think people are holding off because usually baptisms or christenings are family events with family, grandparents, extended family coming to their home to celebrate with them, and they just don't want to invite problems with COVID-19.
We're going to need to take a very short break in a minute, and I'm hoping that you will both stay with us for that. But when we do come back, Imam, I'm going to ask you about this. I mean, this has been something that we've heard from a number of people. It's just quite painful. I mean, of course, there are joyous celebrations that people have looked forward to having that perhaps they can, you know, postpone, whether those are, you know, mitzvahs or, you know, weddings. We've heard of a number of weddings, but funerals generally in most of our traditions cannot be postponed. So when we come back from our very short break, I just wanted to hear from each of you, starting with you, Imam, about how you're comforting people when they have to put off these kinds of rituals in a way that that bring them comfort. I hope you'll both stay with us. Imam Al-Tahir and Reverend Moore, I hope you'll stay with us on the National Conversation with All Things Considered from NPR News.